Hey everybody, we are all feeling like queens today here at AfterBuzz TV, and we are going to be talking about the 76th annual Golden Globes Awards. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome everyone to the 76th annual Golden Globes Awards after show here at AfterBuzz TV. Super excited to be talking to you guys about the highlights of what happened. We are going to start off the show by going over the host's performances, best overall speeches, fashion, of course, because there were so many beautiful dresses and tuxedos. We're going to go over the obvious and expected wins, as well as the snubs, like who should have won and who should have lost. And we are also going to be going over a little bit about the distinction between television and film and the division between that as shown on the award show. And finally, some memorable quotes, memes, and we are ending it with Oscar predictions for 2019. I'm your host, Mina Wahab, and to my left,
Anna K. Thomas here. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. I'm Archie J.
And let's just get right into it and go over overall thoughts for the Golden Globes. What were you guys thinking, feeling?
Yeah, I think tonight my quote is it was the night of wow. Lots of surprises, which I know we'll talk about a little bit later. But overall, I thought it was a good show. I thought Sandra Oh and Annie Samberg did a great job overall. Really good speeches, great fashion. Overall, I was pretty happy with tonight's episode.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Overall, I would give it maybe like an 88%, but it kept me intrigued. There was some dry moments, but it gave me everything I needed. It gave me that shock value. It gave me the wardrobe, and then they tried to play my girl Regina King. I mean, come on.
She was not having it.
It was good.
What could have been done to, like, enhance the awards show? Is there anything that could have been done to make it have that extra oomph, that extra kick that would have made it a little bit more engaging, a little bit more entertaining? Was it too long, too short?
I think, for me, always, more comedy. I thought, you know, with Andy Samberg up there, I was expecting him to be out a little bit more and for them as a duo to be delivering more comedy. I didn't really see that, so that would have been fun. The gag about the flu shots was great.
Yeah.
You know, the gag with Jim Carrey about having him sit
in the back
with the TV people, which we'll talk about a little bit later. That was great. But I just thought that could have been sprinkled in a little bit more.
I felt like we missed the chemistry between the two hosts because they're fantastic actors and, you know, they have their own comedic flow on their own. But together, I don't feel like it meshed well. I was needing a little bit more guidance, a little bit more ha ha ha. We understand that there's no, like, some award shows have music performances.
Right.
So I need the host to give me that entertainment factor. But
you know, I actually have to agree with you.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you both, but in a sense, I felt from the beginning like, oh, there's not enough chemistry. And
yeah,
we talked about this a little bit on the live show.
Yep.
That, oh, well, maybe just give it like a few more like minutes. Like, it's just the very beginning.
3 hours later. we're still waiting.
You're like, yeah, Nope, still not there.
Yeah, it was, I mean, both individually are great, but it almost felt like, okay, the Sandra Oh show and then the Andy Samberg show.
Right.
Like, they were hosting individually,
yep,
side by side, but not as a team. So it wasn't like the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler dynamic we've seen,
yeah,
in the past.
Right.
So
yeah,
do you think that there should be a friendship beforehand or a good synergy beforehand when people are brought together? Or is it okay to bring random people together as co-hosts?
I do. And I think that they did a lot of rehearsals.
Yeah.
They've been working on this for months.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think there'd be an opportunity and time for them to have done that. But I just don't think it translated on TV, to your point.
It did not translate. Yeah. Because as they said in their speech, they had to give up, what, Christmas to do this? So they've had time to build that relationship, to build that chemistry. And if they're coming from this industry, they're actors in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
They know that you got to give a little bit more oomph to make us, you know, want to keep tuning in, you know, and they didn't do that for me as host.
Who had the stronger performance out of the two, if we were to go with just a solo host as opposed to a co-host?
Sandra.
Sandberg.
So, whoa.
Really?
Oh my God.
I think there. And then you stopped and I said Berg and I was like, oh.
You're like,
I was like, yeah, you're on the same page. Okay.
No.
So why?
Wow.
Sandra, I mean, this, first of all, she made history this year. She was the one who kept me, you know, involved with her parents, the interactions that didn't she announce the flu shots coming out. I mean, she was the one who was really giving me what I needed.
So. I thought that was like a Grey's Anatomy reference.
I did too.
Like,
I did too.
Like, what is this?
You said that during our live show, and I was like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
So what about you? Why Sandberg?
Okay, I just think he was way more comfortable. In the beginning, Sandra Oh, love her, again, made history. And I'm not knocking her as a host generally. I just think he had the stronger performance. He was clearly very comfortable up there. It felt like he was at home. She was very nervous in the beginning. She did warm up, I do think, towards the end. But I do think that you could feel that she was scared and that she was nervous.
Yeah.
And whenever you have that, you have to be confident in these situations. And I think Andy just was the superior of the duo. But they were both good. Still.
Yeah, they were both good. Okay, I feel like if you chose Sandberg to do it solo, it would have been very light, very fun.
Yeah.
Just kind of like a celebration. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Sandra would have been a good fit in the sense that we're just coming out of the Me Too movement, the Time's Up movement.
Right.
Diversity, having an Asian female after, especially the craze of Crazy Rich Asians, kind of hosting this whole thing.
Yeah.
I think that's very powerful. And it takes on a more serious tone versus a comedic one. Mm-hmm. So having like the serious with the comedy didn't quite mesh well for some reason. Yeah. It felt disjointed, but I feel like in the future they could go with someone who has chemistry beforehand or at least do a chemistry read.
I really liked who was with Maya Rudolph. They should have hosted.
Yeah.
Who was
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Maya Rudolph. Yeah. That was fantastic. We're going to talk more about that.
It's always the
later.
SNL people that I feel like work so well together.
So good. I mean, Sandberg.
He came from there.
Sandberg too. But yeah, let's get into the speeches, the best speeches of the night. There were so many. We had Carol Burnett. We had
Regina King.
What about Jeff Bridges?
Oh my gosh. If you guys are with us from our live feed of the show,
we timed it
because it was so long, and we basically had a little competition about how long it would be. And I think it came in at
five minutes and 57 seconds.
Yes.
How is that possible? But he was winning the Cecil B. DeMille Award, obviously, and has had a 60 plus year career in entertainment. So no one was going to be turning the music on Jeff Bridges. So
6 minutes for 60 years.
Exactly. A minute for every decade.
There you go.
One speech that I did love, though, was Carol Burnett. She won an award named after her, and it's going to be, like they have the Cecil B. DeMille Award for film, they're going to have this award named after Carol Burnett for TV. And a quote that she said during her speech that it just struck me was, quote, "Sometimes I catch myself daydreaming about being young again and doing it all over. Then I bring myself sharp when I realize how incredibly fortunate I was to be there at the right time." I mean, it's so true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, her show literally is the basis of SNL, Mad TV, all of these sketch variety shows inside Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. Like, Carol Burnett did it first.
And the thing that really surprised me, that's something I never even thought about, was she was going into detail about how each week there was a live orchestra, there were over 60 costumes, there were, like, all of these different extremely talented individuals bringing this amazing work to life.
Yeah.
It's like a live show every single time. So I thought that was amazing. Now we have laugh tracks. Now we have things that are just, everything is just made so much faster and more efficient. We don't have that quality that we had back then. And it was so crazy that they could pull something like that off way back when there wasn't as much advanced technology. You have something like that come to life. And also a woman in a leading role for that long, paving the way, that's pretty phenomenal.
It's amazing. And for her to be recognized, and it was cute when they did the montage.
Oh, yeah.
When they were like, oh, and the nominees are. And you see her in the back, like, you know, is it going to be me? Is it going to be me? And it was so cute, you know? Another great speech of the night was Regina King, right?
Yeah.
So she went up and won. She was, I mean, to us at least, maybe not the fan favorite to win, but she won. She looked amazing. We'll talk about her dress a little bit later. But during her speech, I love that she talked about bringing women more into TV and film. And she said, quote, "I'm going to use my platform to say right now, in the next 2 years, everything that I produce and I'm making a vow that it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to make sure, but everything that I produce, it's 50% women."
Yeah,
which is a powerful statement to go by. But as you saw, didn't the crowd was like silent.
One person stood up, standing ovation.
Jessica Chastain.
All the men were
like, "Oh my god, my job, my job, my job, my job."
What are we gonna do? Yeah. And I was just like, this is brilliant. I feel like that there's nothing wrong with saying 50% women. The fact that that is such a mind-blowing statistic for people to absorb just shows you how unequal the industry is when it comes to casting and diversity. And it's insane. Like, just the fact that Sandra Oh is the first Asian-American woman to host an award show, like, specifically the Golden Globes, that tells you so much about how far we still have to come as a society.
Completely.
In an industry that's supposed to be very liberal when you look at the landscape of America. We live in L.A., and we're more progressive, like, liberal ideology, and still not as much diversity as there needs to be. So it's good that we're moving in the right direction. Yeah, that's for completely. Sure.
But it is crazy, because I was going to say, like, yes, that she was the first to make history for the first, like, Asian American, but not too long ago, we had the first, like, Black person host it. So it's just very interesting spectrum that we are just, like, fathoming these ideas. When I think it was a certain movie that we were talking about, that Green Book.
Green Book.
And it was just, like, it wasn't so long ago that these things were happening, because it was only like 60 years, but.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you know who else agrees with us on this is Glenn Close, who also had an amazing night winning. And she had an amazing speech, too, where she talked about history and being a woman in this industry. And I want to read a quote from her. Mm-hmm. So she said, quote, "I feel what I've learned from this whole experience is that women, we're nurturers. And that's what's expected of us. We have our children, we have our husbands if we're lucky enough, but we have to find personal fulfillment. We have to follow our dreams. We have to say, I can do that, and I should be allowed to do that."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's important. Yeah.
It's important.
I think she said something about how her mom felt like she hadn't done enough or something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that little bit?
Yeah, she said that as well.
So she was like coming to tears. That was a very powerful moment for her to feel like, wow, like, I'm making a difference and, like, I'm making a statement, and we still have so much farther to go, but it was a beautiful woman. And I made a joke that it was kind of like that Mean Girls moment where Katie Heron goes up with the crowd and for all of you guys.
Right?
Like, all of you women are beautiful.
She's like, we all should be up here. That's true.
It's so true.
But it was true. It was good. Yeah. Were there any speeches that you thought really stood out?
I was going to go with...
For better or worse, by the way.
No. I was going to go with Roma. I mean, Alfonso Cuarón, I believe is how you say his last name. Mm-hmm. He won twice, and he did the foreign film. And what he said specifically was, cinema at its best builds bridges to another culture. As we grow these bridges, we begin to realize that while they may be strange, they are not unfamiliar. We begin to understand exactly how much we have in common, which I made a point when we were watching the live show of how, like, I used to watch, like, foreign films and get into those, and it's just like they're going through the exact same thing. So it's good to see the recognition that they're getting on the same, you know, platform for the best movies in the world.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's all great. I personally am a little biased. I loved Rami Malek and how he kind of shouted out Queen. And I just, like, have a personal connection to him because of how far he's come and how this is kind of like his breakout
role. Is this your cousin or something? You love him so much.
No, you're hitting him real hard during our live show.
So I'm Arab American and so is he. And it's very rare to have Arab representation in media. So when you find someone that finally, like, looks like you or speaks Arabic or you have that connection, kind of like how Asians were, like, getting so emotional about Crazy Rich Asians, and everyone was like, why is it a big deal?
Right.
Well, it's because they finally have something where they can look at someone and say, that looks like me. Like, I finally have someone that I can see and be like, that looks like me. Like, wow, like, this is achievable. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that we have that.
Like, representation matters. Yeah, that's how, like, really I felt does. With Black Panther. So,
Yeah, and it's been like a wave right now of sorts.
They're just going to hit every demographic.
Yeah. Like, let's just do this.
Okay, we got Black Panther coming up in the summer. Okay, we're good.
Exactly.
So let's get into fashion.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I was very excited. I mean, I thought Taylor Swift killed it. I don't know why she was there.
Yeah.
But regardless, she had
I forgot about Taylor Swift. Oh, my God. Because she was so lackluster. I didn't know why she was there.
She didn't really say much. No. But she was
like, oh, I'm free on a Sunday.
No, it's interesting, because during the live show, Maria Menounos was on with us, and she even said, she was like, it would have made sense if when Taylor Swift was there, she said, you know, a more impactful speech about music in film, music in TV, or the role, or wrote a song about the nominees, or did something funny, a funny bit. But for her to just be there, just literally saying the announcement and the name, it just felt a little out of place.
Is she going to collab with Idris Elba? Like, what's happening?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Right.
Although, and I think we just put a picture of it. We have a picture coming. Those two standing next to each other, it is almost like too much hotness for one to take.
She looks absolutely
phenomenal. I think her year off or, you know, taking a little bit of a break and then she's dating Joe Alwyn, keeping that private, I think it's doing wonders for her. She looks fabulous.
Yeah.
I think she's going to write a song about it in like a couple years.
Probably.
Okay, so we have to talk about Lady Gaga.
I am Gaga for Lady Gaga. This dress was everything.
Phenomenal.
She always goes all out, though. I never see... I'm glad she didn't do the meat dress this time, but she looks so good. I love it.
Well, she's on a new wave, too. I feel like when she was doing the meat dress, she was doing the gag things, but now she's more Hollywood glamour, and she's really pursuing this acting thing full out. And we all know, well, majority of us know that that was her first love. So she's really giving it her all, and that flowy, you know, Cinderella is what she was really giving was everything.
As much as I love, like, the blonde hair and the Gaga-ishness of this whole ensemble, I kind of wish that in honor of A Star Is Born, she went with Stephanie versus Gaga and kind of did, like, the brunette hair, like, a little easy on the makeup, just because it's kind of like an homage to, like, that whole experience and that film of being, like, stripped down into that character. I thought that would be cool, but... it is an award show, so I feel like she's always going
to
be glam.
Well, she was paying homage to Judy Garland, so that was what inspired this.
Okay.
And for all of our fashionistas out there, this is a Valentino gown, custom made, obviously, for Lady Gaga with a train that was several feet long.
Yeah.
So this Valentino number was inspired by a Judy Garland, who was the lead in the 1954 version of A Star Is Born. So Gaga was very conscious about... thinking about, you know, the aspects that went into her look tonight. And I thought it was beautiful that she paid homage.
And she had $5 million around her neck.
Wow.
Yeah, of Tiffany diamonds. So
imagine.
Congratulations.
Just for, like, 5 minutes, I want that.
A million a minute.
So, yeah.
Emma Stone. Now,
she's always going to be a favorite of mine. Like, La La Land. Like, there's something about Emma Stone that... She actually was in Maniac this year. I'm surprised that didn't get nominated for anything. It was a Netflix show. I genuinely feel like it was one of the best Netflix shows of the year. It was a limited series. You guys have to check it out. And we also have the after show for it here at AfterBuzz TV. But I feel like she's always doing something every single year.
It was made by Louis Vuitton. So
love a little Louis.
Love a little Louis.
Also, it took more than 800 hours to create... 800 hours.
That's a long time.
Do we think it looks like it took 800 hours, though? That's a better question.
No, it doesn't. But maybe the delicate beading, maybe so, you know?
I just feel like...
She always does the peach look, though.
Yeah,
if you
she
noticed
does.
Last year, she had a similar dress.
With the stars for La La Land.
Yeah.
Okay, I love Emma Stone. I just think it's the Golden Globes. It's 2019. Mm-hmm. We're in a new year. Give me some wow. Give me some pop. Like, give me something.
This is very old Hollywood.
Predictable.
It's so predictable, and we've seen this look year after year. I love her, like I said, but I'm kind of ready for something else.
Yeah, same.
No,
yeah.
Your favorite was Rachel Bronze. I cannot say her last name.
Franchon.
I'm not even going to try.
Franchon. Rachel Franchon from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah. That yellow dress.
Oh, that yellow pop of color.
Made by Prada.
It's so simple, but it's so beautiful. There's just something about yellow and how it matches the Owen Globes. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
the perfect picture. And there's something about it that felt very, like, Mad Men-like, very Marvelous Mrs. Maisel-like. It was like she was still in character, and I love that.
No, Mina, that's why I liked it, because I felt like it was true to who she is as a person, and then also true who she is as an actor.
Right.
And I felt like, I don't know if it was, like, necessarily my best dress of the night, but the only yellow, she's such a bubbly personality. It was such a pop of color. She brought so much life when she went up to accept her award, and I thought it was just a perfect, perfect fit for her.
Yeah. So
definitely.
On to Lady Bird, right?
Saoirse Ronan, yes. Lady Bird, Atonement. This year,
but,
Mary Queen of Scots, which I'm surprised wasn't nominated.
No.
Surprised.
I'm so surprised. If you saw her performance, like, that looked like an Oscar-worthy performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm really shocked by a lot of the ones that didn't get nominated for Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Are they going to get nominated for Oscars? I really don't know. But yeah, Saoirse Ronan, what was she wearing? She was wearing that Gucci. Silvery. It was a silvery metallic dress. Gucci. Mm-hmm. Really beautiful.
Very dangly. Gucci. And a minimal makeup, too.
It felt, yeah, minimal makeup, yeah. Very dewy skin, glow with a bright lip and beautiful earrings. Mm-hmm. And there was just something about the outfit that felt lingerie-y, but in a very classy way. Like, you see that deep V cut?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's still done. Like, that could easily be trashy, but it's not. There's just something about it with the minimal makeup and the dangling earrings that makes it seem very angelic. Just very ethereal, like, yeah. I don't know, it's just there's like a levity to it,
and we were seeing this trend too. So we've been seeing either like very voluminous dresses, mm-hmm. or these sort of like tapered metallics, lots yeah. of gold and silver. So I think those are sort of our trends so far for the Golden Globes, and I think it's going to speak to Oscars and mm-hmm. Screen Actors Guild and all of the other awards as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then let's take a look at the guys, because yes. I like when the guy changes it up from a normal tuxedo. Darren Criss, who won tonight, and he said it was a great privilege to be the first Filipino-American to win a Golden Globe.
Another first.
Yeah, another yeah. first. So, I mean, he had the floral embellishments on his
yeah,
jacket.
Yeah, we got a picture Love coming in a second. That. Yep.
And yeah, I mean, was he wearing Versace? Because I feel like that would be ideal.
This was definitely best dressed.
He has to be wearing Versace, right? I didn't even make that connection.
Yeah.
Let's check it out right now.
I didn't even think about that. That's
but yeah,
brilliant. Yeah.
I do love that he took a risk. Yeah, guys have to switch it up, too. You should speak to this out of anyone.
No,
but.
Honestly, because I get so tired of just the normal, you know, black and you know, the bow tie. So mm-hmm. I like when they change it up. There's more to come. But yeah, give us something to stand out, because I think it's so hard how the girls and the guys have best dress and worst dress lists, and mm-hmm. all the guys look the same.
Yeah.
It's like, it was like, okay.
Just suit, pose, yeah. suit,
But he
pose.
Did wear a Dior jacket.
Okay.
So okay. it was not Versace.
All right. Interesting. Interesting choice, Darren Criss.
Yeah. And then Timothy, who...
Chalamet. Oh my gosh. He did not win tonight, but man, this performance that he had...
Beautiful
Boy was just, it was gripping is the best word I could use to describe it. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Steve Carell plays his father in the movie.
Was it a sad ending? Don't spoil it, but was it
I don't want to spoil it. I will not spoil it. Not Uh-oh. Unexpected ending.
Okay. And unexpected?
Unexpected, okay. And I survived.
Okay.
Does that, all right. is that enough?
All right.
But based on a true story, fabulous, fabulous movie. But yeah, let's talk about the fashion. But
yeah, so he brought his mom as his date, which is really
That's
cool.
So cute.
But he did hit the red carpet wearing custom sequined harness on top of, you know, normal black clothing from Louis Vuitton. Yeah, paired with a shirt, a pant, you know, that kind of thing.
Only he could pull that
yeah.
off. Because
no one else could do that.
Because it's so strange to me. Like, I don't personally
like it. At least it was black
on black. I don't personally like it because it feels like something is missing, or it feels like something, you know, like girls wear when they're trying to be sexy, like it comes out like that. I don't know. There's something about it that I'm not a fan of, but
okay.
if anyone were to wear it, it should be him.
Absolutely.
Because he's just so... He's
so unique.
Handsome.
He's so different.
And like, yeah.
Yeah, and he was a breakout star in Call Me By Your Name.
Yes.
And then this movie, Beautiful
He was
Boy.
In Lady Bird as well.
Yes,
Lady
he was.
Bird as well. And he is just such a star. People are calling him a young James Dean, a young Leonardo DiCaprio. So I just say, while you can, take the risk, do it, have fun.
Yeah.
You're young, you're at the Golden Globes, like, first nomination. Just live it up.
Yeah. And then lastly, for the guys, Rami Malek.
Yes.
Now, he was, you know, pretty typical, but I did like the white bow tie with the whole, you know, black tux, that whole ensemble.
He kept it classy.
He did.
I mean, this is what I like. I like a little different.
You can't even tell
but
that he's wearing the
classy.
Bow tie because it camouflages, but I still like it.
Yeah.
Well, you're in love with him anyway.
I really, genuinely am.
We already know that
when
part.
When he was talking to me, we were like, wait, is he still in character? Because
he's just like Freddie Mercury
from Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So super, super good fashion. Anyone else we got to talk about? Nicole Kidman, maybe?
Nicole Kidman? Oh, the fruit roll-up?
Oh, so when we
the
were
fruit
doing...
The fruit roll-up? Oh, no.
When we were doing our after show, or not our after show, I'm sorry, our live watch during the Golden Globes, we had someone say that Nicole Kidman looked like she was in a giant fruit roll-up.
I like it.
Ouch. I think that was a little harsh, but I get where they were coming from. Yeah, tell us about this look.
She didn't do a gown. What do you call this type of fit? I don't know. I don't wear dresses.
Superhero dress.
No, not super.
Curve hugging.
Curve hugging. Okay.
Form fitted.
Mm-hmm. Form fitted.
Nicole is one of those people. She always serves up amazing fashion. Mm-hmm. And for me, this is not a miss to me. It's just sort of like, okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's fine.
It's not bad. It's not good. I think she always looks fine. But she looks good.
She wore Michael Kors.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
A fresh, modern brand.
I used to work for Michael Kors back in the day.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, that's okay.
I would have gone for something a little bit more old Hollywood classic or a statement. To me, it's just fine.
But it also wasn't her night, though, and I feel like she could get by with this. She didn't win anything huge. She wasn't.
Yeah. She was nominated for Destroyer.
Can you imagine going in a giant ball gown when you're not in anything? Like, it's just, I would like, do stealing, it. Stealing the show anyway. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Any other honorable mentions? Or what do we think about the leads, the hosts, Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh? She had two outfit changes. She had the red, and then she had the white.
Yeah.
The gold.
The red was good. The red was good. The red was powerful.
Red was
it was a
good
great
color.
Opening statement. They had the slit at the leg.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was a great entrance. But the other dress that she turned to was a bit sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Andy, he kept the same look on all night. As a typical host, I was expecting to see that from him. Mm-hmm. Normal tux, black bow tie to keep the night moving along.
Yeah. All right, so
I'm
we
just
got.
I'm trying to see if I find the designer, but I don't see it here. Yeah, we'll just move on.
Yeah,
I think it was Stella McCartney.
The color is good, though. Like,
yeah.
So my favorites were. We forgot about Anne Hathaway. That was one that we really heavily disagreed on. I love Anne Hathaway because she can do no wrong.
That's not you guys hated it. That's not even worth talking
about. See, I forgot about it because it was so disgusting. It was horrible.
You guys can look it up
the leopard?
At home. Google it.
The leopard print.
The leopard, but the top was so beautiful. It had like some black
the
in there.
The top was the worst part.
Look it up in the comment in the live chat. Let us know what you thought of Anne Hathaway's dress because I am a huge Anne Hathaway fan.
Wait, last one real quick because I think we have a picture of it. Glenn Close.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I thought for an older woman, it was very age appropriate.
I've seen it before, though.
You've seen it before?
I've seen it before done on an older woman, the whole, like, cape aspect.
Oh,
with,
I thought she looked divine.
She did. She did. She
and
did,
And what a beautiful speech. And I just thought it was, it was simple, classy, covered up, just kind of, like, elegant.
I'm not a fan.
No, not
really. But, like, what is she going
to
wear?
What would you like to see Glenn Close in, huh?
No, she usually wears, like, she shows. I
Does
mean,
she?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
She gives some skin.
She gives skin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. This feels like Nanny McPhee or something. Like, you're about to go take care of the kids and you're a super classy, like, British lady. I don't know. I'm not a fan. It's classy, but it's just,
not
it does
my,
nothing.
It's
it does
not
nothing
my best.
For me.
It's not my best, but I just think for, it's very age appropriate.
It is.
And for her beautiful speech, I thought she did look the part.
She looks classy, but it's nothing spectacular for me.
Okay.
But yeah, moving on to movies, to television, to the awards, let's talk about the obvious and expected wins. What do we think, like, it was like a no-brainer, obviously this is going to win? Because for me, that would be the Amazon Prime show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I was not surprised one bit with all
not
the wins.
Surprised.
It just kind of swept it. Anything else for you guys?
I thought that was definitely going to win. And that in that category, too, so that was Rachel Branchahan won for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, her cohorts were Alison Brie for Glow, Deborah Messing for Will and Grace, the reboot, right?
Right.
Kristen Bell for The Good Place, which I know you love
I
that
show. I love The Good Place, but it wasn't
And
worthy.
Candace Bergen for Murphy Brown, the reprise.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of, they're all terrific actors. I mean, amazing,
phenomenal,
right? But it was so obvious that it was going to be The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's trending, it's current, it's funny, it's witty.
And like I said, ever since it hit the scene, it's just been winning awards nonstop.
Left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Left and right. So I was not surprised one bit.
I wasn't surprised with the Bohemian Rhapsody when the actor won. I forget which category that was particularly called, but I was not surprised with that one.
Mm-hmm. So best actor in a motion picture drama.
Best actor, yeah.
Well, people thought Bradley Cooper were gonna might have taken it.
A Star Is Born.
So,
but I feel like Bradley Cooper did a much better job directing than acting.
And
his acting was fine.
And I thought he would have won that one.
He had a great singing voice,
right.
But I don't feel like his acting was anything incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like mind blowing performance. I just thought, wow, this guy came into this, knew the movie he wanted to make. Cast Lady Gaga, had great chemistry, did brilliant directing, had her shine like the star she is, that should win Best Director.
Which I thought, I thought he should have won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and I think I think Rami Malek, when you compare what both of them did, I mean, yes, Bradley Cooper learned how to play guitar and, like, learned how to sing and took vocal lessons, mm-hmm. but so did Rami Malek with piano and singing and also performing in front of millions of people. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so intimidating. And that was the first day of shooting. The scene that you see in Bohemian Rhapsody, where he's performing in front of all these people, was the first day of shooting that he did that, and he makes a joke in an interview where he says, I think the reason it was the first day was because if they knew that I sucked, they'd be like, oh, we're pulling the plug on this, we're not doing this anymore. So he was talking a little bit about that, and I was like, if you can do that on the first day, you can literally conquer anything, mm-hmm. because that was such a powerful scene.
Definitely.
For someone who's never done anything like that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Any other obvious expected wins?
Well, obvious or expected.
I was just, all night, I was completely shocked at my guesses did not win.
We love you, but you are not good.
I was a horrible predictor.
Any surprises? I wouldn't say snubs, but like for me, I guess with surprises,
I've got one.
Green Book won a lot.
Green Book won a lot.
I really liked Green Book, but I didn't think it was like a Titanic or a Gladiator or a Slumdog Millionaire or like it didn't feel like it feels like one of those pieces you can watch anytime because it's such a beautiful story about the friendship of two unlikely people coming together during an age of intense racism and hate and during a time when segregation existed in the 60s, but I just wasn't aware that it would win like awards in three major categories. Huge.
So we can recap what it won for. So it won for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy.
Yeah,
up against Vice, Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, and Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah. Oh.
So it was a tough category.
That's true.
And it blew it out of the park. We also had, I'm trying to remember what the other ones were. Oh, it won for Best Screenplay.
Green Book. Yeah, it did.
That actually makes a lot of sense because the protagonist's son in real life was the one who wrote the screenplay. Mm-hmm. So this was something that was very close to home for him. When he wrote it with like his mom in mind, his dad in mind, this entire story in mind. So it's not a huge surprise, but I was expecting, there was another one I was expecting to win Best Screenplay, that was the Adam McKay Vice story, because that was something where he did a lot of research about the Bush administration, and he's the same guy who created, you know, surprisingly, Anchorman, and he does have, like, a comedic spin on things where he takes the liberty to add, like, funnier elements into the story. So I thought he was going to win for Best Director.
Were you surprised for Best Performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy that it was Christian Bale for Vice?
I was not surprised at all. That was the one that I was 100% sure it would be Christian Bale for Vice. Because he fully transformed into the role, gained a ton of weight, looked exactly like Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Even when it came to, like, small mannerisms, like the heavy breathing that Cheney does before he's about to say something where he goes, and then he says something, down to the T. Everything.
Okay.
And even when it came to Dick Cheney in real life had several heart attacks that he survived, and director Adam McKay asked Christian Bale, how do you want to do this heart attack? Do you want it to be like a pain in your arm? Do you want it to be something where you feel like a pain in your heart?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'll do the stomach pain. It's a different type of heart attack pain that comes on that you sense earlier on. Like, down to the detail, like Christian Bale knew how he wanted to act, what he wanted to bring to the character. And it was in that conversation where he was saying that, like, when people get a heart attack, sometimes they feel a pain in their stomach. The crazy thing is that director Adam McKay suffered a heart attack during filming, like, not on set, but during the same time that they were filming. And it was because of that conversation with Christian Bale that he knew he was experiencing a heart attack.
Mind blown.
That's intense.
So it's crazy how everything came full circle in that moment and how, like, the research that Christian Bale did, like, helped Adam McKay in real life, helped to save his life. Either Dick Cheney or Christian Bale saved Adam McKay's life.
Yeah. It's so insane. Yeah. Well, Christian Bale is such, I mean, he is just such a phenomenal actor. His career has already been remarkable. He has a very long career ahead of him.
Yeah.
He'll be winning the Cecil B. DeMille Award in no time.
Oh, for sure. He's very transgenerational.
Transgenerational, gives it his all. Batman, all of these roles where he just really invests so much in the character. So I'm happy he won tonight.
Yeah.
It was nice to see him up there.
I was very happy. I was also happy, but I was very surprised by Regina King. Regina King. Yes.
I was surprised.
You weren't?
I mean, who was she up against?
She was up against Amy Adams for Vice, Claire Foy, Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz.
Honestly, she was up a lot against, like, some other favorites.
Some favorites.
And, you know, just to be clear, because Regina King was, she was nominated for two things. So she was nominated for If Beale Street Could Talk, and then she was also nominated for 7 Seconds.
Right.
So she won for If Beale Street Could Talk,
right.
But she lost out for 7 Seconds for Best Actress in a limited series to Patricia Arquette. So just wanted to be clear about that. So she won one, lost one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a bad night.
That's not a bad night.
And she won in the movie category, lost in the TV category. Even though there was that
Division. Where was she sitting? Because there was I don't remember, because TV was on the back and movie were on the front. She was on the floor because she was texting for a second.
Oh, Beale Street Could Talk.
Yeah, during Glenn Close's speech. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, speaking of Regina King, also, like I said in the limited series, Patricia Arquette won, and she was up against Kali Britton in Dirty John, Laura Dern for The Tale of Regina King, like we said, for 7 Seconds, and Amy Adams for Sharp Objects. Amy Adams totally snubbed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Totally snubbed. She was up for Sharp Objects and for Vice.
Yeah.
But yeah, Patricia Arquette won in that category. What do we think about that?
I don't really have opinions because I'm not really a big fan. I've seen like one film that she has seen. I did not see this one, but I was more so rooting because I'm biased for Connie Britton because Dirty John is a phenomenal series on television right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very neutral on the whole winning for Patricia.
And she was quirky as usual. She had, like, her glasses and her kind of crazy hair and her crazy speech. Lots of bleeps during her speech.
Yeah.
We don't even know what she said. So, I mean, I guess if you're a good lip reader, you could try and figure it out. But she was fun, though. And
she
you could
fun.
Tell she did appreciate
I,
it.
I really liked Laura Dern in The Tale. I know she went up against her. That was an HBO movie. And it was definitely relevant to today's climate with sexual harassment. It was about a girl who was basically groomed by a guy at camp and was sexually molested and was made to think that he was her boyfriend, even though she was, like, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And Laura Dern plays, like, this girl who has to deal with the trauma of what she experienced in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal performance. But I don't think a lot of people ever really saw it. I don't think it was marketed that great, honestly.
Yeah, it's tough because there's a lot. We talked about this too during our live feed that sometimes the actor is great, but the movie itself doesn't lend for the actor to be, you know, awarded in like the way that they deserve, or vice versa. So that might be one of those cases.
So let's talk about Best Picture as a whole, because Best Picture, the way it's categorized. It's categorized, and it's different from the Oscars, because when the Oscars, it's just Best Picture, right? But for the Golden Globes, it's Best Motion Picture Drama, Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy, Best Motion Picture Animated, Best Motion Picture Foreign Language, which they sometimes do with the Oscars, too, with Foreign Language and Animated, but I've never seen them separate. Do they separate comedy and drama in the Oscars? Because I don't remember that happening.
Not sure.
But yeah, so it was Bohemian Rhapsody, Green Book, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and Roma for the four different ones that won Best Picture. But the other ones that didn't win were Black Panther, Black Klansman, If Beale Street Could Talk, A Star Is Born, Crazy Rich Asians, The Favorite, Mary Poppins Returns, Vice, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, Mirai, and Ralph Breaks the Internet, and then there were some other ones with foreign language. Capernaum, Girl, Never Look Away, and Shoplifters.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any of the ones that I just said that you felt should have been higher up on the list?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a disservice to not recognize Black Klansman in any way.
Mm-hmm.
It got completely shut out. I think Spike Lee did such an amazing job with this movie in a way, kind of like Get Out, where it was sort of for everyone, but like targeted special cases, and everyone who went got a different thing out of it.
Right.
But I just think for our time and the way that our country is so divided, it was just a really interesting take on racism in America. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of sad to see it not get any love.
It seems like we're okay to, you know, produce it and have it, you know, do well in its theaters on its own, but more so give it the recognition on that platform. We're not all the way there yet. Mm-hmm. But I will say, you know, piggybacking off of that, because I totally agree, but going to a different category to animation, I thought Incredibles 2 would win over Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. I was with you on that.
I just did not understand. I mean,
I think
with
this
the
is what we saw. Our predictions were not going to be good.
We're like, we're not good at this. But yeah, I mean, the numbers, the...
I was thinking Isle of Dogs.
Really?
It was so different. It was like this Japanese-style Wes Anderson movie.
And yeah.
It was just a beautiful story about a boy and his dog that he went to extreme lengths to find.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so beautiful. Yeah, but...
Not as
okay. I know.
It's okay.
A good movie.
Fine.
I was surprised. I feel like I'm throwing so much shade, but as much as I love Mary Poppins,
shady. You threw a lot of shade tonight.
Shaded.
As much as I love Mary Poppins, I just don't see it being a contender in the musical or comedy best motion picture category. I don't think it was good enough or strong enough for that. It just didn't hold up to the original.
Yeah.
And even on its own, I just think it was very weak as a musical.
I think it was a nostalgia thing like we were talking about. You know,
it was just good to have on screen.
I still like it. I just didn't think it was like worthy of best motion picture at all.
Oh, completely. And in that category, again, it was up against Green Book, which won.
Yeah.
Vice, which was an amazing film.
Yes.
Crazy Rich Asians, which we all love, but again,
I don't think that's...
It was on that level. And The Favorite with Emma Stone.
Yeah. Because Crazy Rich Asians, I don't feel like that's something that's Oscar-worthy or Golden Globes-worthy. It's just a good... feel good movie.
Good to have representation.
And there's representation, but it's not like, wow, she blew me away with the performance, or wow, this wowed me in terms of the cinematography or the music. No, it just felt like, you know, a movie that needed to be made, that resonated with people, that had diversity, and that was a beautiful, like, feel-good romance movie.
And it was good for just that. Like, if we were to put them on scales, I would literally put it next to A Cinderella Story with Hilary Duff.
Yes.
Ouch.
Or, no. I would say Cinderella. Honestly, I was thinking this.
That
Cinderella,
hurt my soul a little bit.
Cinderella with Brandy. Remember with Brandy?
Yeah.
That had Whitney Houston. That had
But it's
way
like a fairy
vocals.
Tale. It's like, oh, this is nice and cute.
Yeah.
But
not an Oscar-worthy
But in defense of Mary Poppins Returns, we did say that of all people to be cast in that movie,
Emily Blunt
was spectacular
perfect. Yeah.
So I do want to kind of give it a little bit of credit where
the casting
due.
Was phenomenal throughout
and
all movies.
The guy who was in it, the main character who was in it, won another award for Golden Globe. I can't remember his name.
Yes,
it's
now have
killing
to research.
Me right now.
And Mary Poppins?
I shouldn't have brought it up because now I have to figure it out.
No.
But, no, he was the dad in Mary Poppins. He actually won a Golden Globe that night for something else.
Oh, okay.
And he's like a very mild demeanor, kind of soft-spoken, very short speech.
Not Lin-Manuel.
Not Lin-Manuel Miranda. He was the dad in Mary Poppins.
No.
Wait, did we even see Lin at the ceremony?
No.
I didn't see him at all. I wonder where he was.
No, but we saw Taylor Swift.
Who was the dad?
Dick Van Dyke?
Right.
Not Dick Van Dyke. He was the dad in Mary Poppins. The one with
the
mustache.
The
Ben Whishaw.
Yes.
Ben Whishaw.
Oh, right.
Yes.
So he won an award
that night.
But yeah, I just... The other one that I thought should have at least had honorable mention that was never nominated at all, we talked about this a little bit in the live, was Sorry to Bother You, which was such a well-done movie. And, you know, we were already talking about race and...
Capitalism.
Yeah, race, capitalism. There were just so many things in that movie where it was just so relevant to, like, how you have to survive and how being white is a way to climb the ladder of success in America.
It's so creative.
If you sound
white,
if you speak a certain way, this is how you move up the ladder.
Right,
and just like little things in that movie and the desire for money and American greed, like all of these things coming together at play. And I'm just so shocked that it wasn't nominated for anything because it was so well done.
It was.
You know, I think it's one of those situations where you have, like we talked about, it's a wonderful time for diversity in film and TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of film and TV has just exploded, especially TV. Film has always been sort of amazing. And actors before, no one was doing TV the way that they are. But all of these organizations, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, HBO, are having such great quality TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, too, when you're trying to make everything so diverse, you sort of run into there's so many things. So when you have Sorry to Bother You up against Black Klansman, they kind of have the same message.
Like, I'm sure it was on the table.
Right.
For consideration, but I guess it just makes a cut.
So I think it's hard in these times where we're trying to be, you know, very sensitive to diversity, but also sensitive to being sensitive, you know, that there maybe wasn't room at the table for all of the amazing films that were made in, you know, 2018.
Let's talk a little bit about women in film, since it is the year of the woman. Mm-hmm. I'd like to
50-50.
Say 50-50.
Regina King said it.
50-50.
I want to apply to Regina King's production and be like, but you said.
But you said 50-50.
And I'm a woman.
Let me in.
So best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama, Glenn Close, The Wife, up against, honestly, this was such a great, like, competitive.
Yes.
Like,
this, I already know your favorite. I know what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah.
This was so great because we have her up against Lady Gaga from A Star is Born, Nicole Kidman from The Destroyer, Melissa McCarthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me, Rosamund Pike,
your
A Private War. So many great options, and you really couldn't go wrong with any of those, but we all thought it was going to be Lady Gaga.
We all thought it.
I wanted it to be Rosamund Pike, but we all, like, I still thought it would be Lady Gaga, even though I wanted it to be Rosamund Pike.
Yeah, and then, as we saw, Glenn Close won, and she had never won a Golden Globe. I was shook.
So Maria Menounos was on our live feed, and she was like, this can't be true, and then we did the research. Archie did it.
Yeah.
And she had never won a Golden Globe before.
And she said she's coming up on 45 years in September in the industry, and it just
makes it so much sweeter.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. And I was a little confused because I didn't know too much about Can You Ever Forgive Me, why Melissa McCarthy was in the category, but maybe it's because I missed out on that film. But
I think good for her. She's another actor that kind of transcends comedy and drama.
She is
and
good,
moving
though.
More into drama. So I think good for her. But
and I like
I don't
that
think she was ever going to be, you know, number one or number two in this category this
year. I like
year.
That she was in that, though, because time and time again, we see her being typecast in, like, these buffoonish-type roles. Yep. Like, oh, she's heavier set, so she has to fall, and it's funny.
She has to be eating cake.
And we have to be laughing at that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I got it. It was funny in Bridesmaids, but you do it again and again and again. Like, give us more, because she's actually very talented.
She
started out in Gilmore Girls, and, like, it's just nice to see that she's in something that really can showcase her talent and not just put her in a box.
I agree.
Yeah,
we're happy for Glenn Close. And like I said, I read a little bit, if you were with us earlier, I read a little bit of Glenn Close's award speech, and she was just so humble, so thankful, talked a lot about women's equality and about how women deserve, you know, a seat at the table and need to have their own independence. And I salute her so much.
So let's talk a little bit about the division between television and film. We had some people who were nominated for both, some that were nominated for one, like Jim Carrey. And it's just funny how, I don't know if it really is accurate that they put the film people in front in the audience and the TV people in the back, or if that was just something that was joked around about. But
it
did feel like all the film people were in the front.
Yeah.
It was joked around.
But then there were people where, like, Amy Adams is a great example, right? She was nominated for Sharp Objects.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Best Performance by an Actress in a Limited Series Motion Picture Made for TV. And then she was also nominated for Vice.
Mm-hmm.
But she sat with the Vice people.
Yeah.
So
because they were on the
in
floor.
The front.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the, if you were an actress or an actor, it's like you're going to go, it seems to me that you're going to, if you're nominated for both, you're going to go with the film side.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have the better seat.
Absolutely.
You're going to have the more prestige, even though TV is getting so good now and it's Emmy winning, Oscar winning TV. Film is still king, you know?
It was a joke because I did see, I'm upset that Pose didn't win anything. Billy Porter
is
great.
You were salty about that.
I was real salty.
It was so great.
He could not hide that face.
Oh my God.
But Billy Porter was nominated, and that's a television show, and he was on the floor. It was a little bit towards the back, but so the crossover, I don't feel like it's much. What's it like, segregation in the room from like TV and film people?
Yeah.
But There's favoritism for sure, opposed to TV and film.
I feel like there definitely is. And the irony is that it is the golden age of television.
Yeah.
Like
you
said, we have so many different platforms. We have Amazon, we have Hulu, we have
Netflix, HBO,
everything.
On,
and I feel
on.
Like
FX.
Especially millennials aren't watching cable. They're watching on a streaming service.
Yeah.
So there are so many more opportunities to view content. And there's so much out there that it's so hard to keep up with everything. But what did you think of the little bit with Jim Carrey in the beginning?
Oh, fabulous. That's what I was saying earlier. It's like, I wanted more of that. Like, the whole, you know, if you guys didn't see that part or whatever, basically, Jim Carrey was in the, you know, film section of the the theater, and Andy Samberg was joking about how he had to move to TV because he was being nominated for Kidding, yeah. which we all loved and thought was fabulous. Also snubbed tonight, yes. by the way.
And it was so great.
It was so
because,
great.
You know, we finally see Jim Carrey in something once more, and I always say, even though Jim Carrey is known for his comedy roles, I always say that he does such a better job in serious roles. So, like,
he really does.
The Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Kidding was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays someone who's like this Mr. Rogers type figure who's so revered and who's so happy all the time and so smiley and so kind and so gracious, but then he has to deal with his own inner demons and he has to face that his son was killed in a car accident, and he has to come to terms with that, and he has to deal with someone who he loves potentially dying from cancer, and then he has to deal with his wife wanting to divorce him, and all these things.
Ooh, that's
and then a lot. It kind of deals with it talks a little bit about mental illness and like kind of reaching that breaking point and going crazy,
and it's very real too.
It's very real.
Yeah. The horrors of fame a little bit. It tackles everything, and it's something that's so well done. It was one of my favorite shows from 2018. So I wish it got a little bit more recognition.
Well, I'm glad he at least got the comedy bit.
Yeah.
With the whole moving
they
to
gave him something.
The back TV section. Because at least he didn't win, but he got a little moment. You
That's
remembered,
true.
Oh, yeah, he was nominated for Kidding.
Yeah.
And you know, who's to say that he can't win more awards during award season? It just wasn't his night at the Globes.
Yeah.
That's true. And Kidding was renewed for season two, so.
Yeah.
You got time.
Baby. You got time.
Same for Bose. Same for Bose. Second season coming. We got time.
Yeah. Slow down, Jim Carrey, okay? Slow down.
So, any memorable quotes or memes? Because I would say the favorite was...
Like wait, let's do it. One. Okay, count of three. One, two, three. Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was so good. So, he literally was just sitting there with his mouth open in awe, watching, and I just don't understand. I think he really...
Anna Kay literally called it. She's like, this is going to be a meme. I guarantee
it's gonna
you.
Be a meme.
I log into my computer, it's a meme.
It's a meme.
And it's already a meme.
The other guy who, I don't know who that was.
Wait,
he was
are we
older
done
guy.
Talking about Dick Van Dyke?
Oh, no.
Dick Van Dyke.
I mean,
this is amazing. So I just want to say, I really do think, though, like Chrissy Teigen's meme when she was watching John Legend, I think it was out of a place of such love and reverence, and he really wanted to hear what was being said.
Yeah.
So he literally just sat there with like a fly trap, just with his mouth open, like staring.
Oh.
And I just thought it was a cute moment. It's a meme for sure, and I know it's going to be all over Twitter. It already is, but I think it was endearing rather than being like, oh God, like Dick Van Dyke. It was like, oh, Dick Van Dyke.
But like, also, if you Google Dick Van Dyke, all of his pictures, he's doing the same face.
He's the John Travolta of 2019.
Yeah, so. Good for him. But there was another older guy, and I don't remember. Remember, he was just staring blankly.
And, Dick Van Dyke.
No, it was a different guy.
No, I know.
And
exactly
I don't know who that
who
was. Maybe
about.
It was a producer.
No. I know exactly who you're talking about.
I don't know his name.
It's going to drive me insane.
I know.
I
it's going to be on Twitter.
It.
So just hashtag Golden Globes and you'll see it.
Going back to Dick Van Dyke.
Not Clint Eastwood.
No, not Clint Eastwood.
No,
oh my gosh.
I didn't see Clint tonight.
Oh, Alan Arkin.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just, there was like this
spacing.
Funny moment. Okay. My only thing that I'm like trying to figure out, whoever was in charge of camera was kind of just like panning too long on each person, because usually every Golden Globes, it's like 3 seconds
quick
this
hits.
Person, three
mm-hmm.
seconds, 3 seconds. This time it was like 5 seconds one person,
yeah,
5 seconds
long.
Another. But here you go. We have Emily Blunt with Dick
Van
Dyke. I love
it. Oh my gosh.
I love him.
He's so endearing.
Yeah.
And really, what a legend in him of itself. So it's sort of like, you can't really be mad at Dick Van Dyke. He can kind of do whatever he wants. He was quoted earlier calling the 2019 Golden Globes a nut house. And so I don't blame him. He's more just like, these crazy people, these crazy Hollywood people.
Exactly.
And for those of you who don't know who Dick Van Dyke is, shame on you, first of all. Second of all, he was in the original Mary Poppins. He was great. Fun fact, he spoke in a British accent that was kind of like this Cockney dialect where he would be like, hello, governor. And when I was a kid, I thought that's how British people actually talk.
Yeah.
But apparently British children were like, what? Like, this isn't how we talk.
It's insulting.
So it was like, apparently like a really insulting, like ridiculous accent, but it was all in good fun. And he was in Mary Poppins Returns as well in a cameo.
And obviously coming out with Emily Blunt was so appropriate.
Yes,
so
definitely.
It was a sweet moment.
I just want to know what happened to Julie Andrews. I still don't know, like, where Where is she? How come she wasn't in the new Mary Poppins? And where's Meryl Streep? Because I love her.
I know.
And she always has something to say about Trump or, like, I was so surprised that there was nothing political that happened at
Honestly,
all.
I'm glad. I'm tired. It's 2019. It's a new year. Yes, we still need to talk about, like, Me Too and Time's Up, and people were wearing pins and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that they eased up on the heavy, heavy political humor.
Right.
And I thought that by having Sandra Oh with Andy Samberg, she sort of balanced the ticket a little bit and talked about, you know, being the first Asian American woman to host, talked about her parents. It was a little bit more heartwarming than the heavy, heavy, you know, political bashing that we've been seeing in the last 2 or 3 years at all the award shows. So for me, I say thank you. I needed a little break, you know, with everything that's going on. And I thought they did a good job of balancing the show.
I wish I had a little bit more roasting. Not necessarily.
Yes.
Not necessarily, like, political stuff, but I love how
roasting
in previous
the actors,
award shows,
yeah.
they, like, will point out someone and they'll be like, oh, so-and-so is like this. Oh, so-and-so is like this. And we all get a good laugh.
We did at the
kind
beginning.
Of, like,
we did get some
at
the beginning.
But only with Jim Carrey.
No, it was a little bit before that. He pointed to, like, Spike Lee and things like that. So we did get a little bit. But, yeah, no, totally. I piggyback off of that. Definitely. Because I feel like what I said when we were watching it live, that now we're just, like, putting these things into action, so creating a whole segment on a show is probably just a little bit oversaturated right now for the whole, like, the Me Toos, and
it's just a lot happening.
Yeah,
it's
the,
like,
political,
okay,
things.
Like,
it's like, now we're just working
just
in the community trying to fix it. Let's not make a whole.
And I want to be very, very clear here that it's not that it's not important to say.
No.
And it's not that we think that they shouldn't be talking about those things. But like you were saying, Archie, it's like we're putting into action. They did hit it a little bit. You saw people's pins. You saw people talking about, Glenn Close talked about equality. Regina King talked about equality. So it's not like it was lacking completely. It just wasn't so heavy-handed being like, you know, bashing a particular political party.
Ryan Seacrest had his bracelet on, though. Remember I mentioned that? Because he had his misconduct situations last year, but now he's wearing a Me Too Time's Up
bracelet
for tonight. But
what do you think about that? Appropriate?
Because he wasn't proven to be wrong. So maybe this is just his stance at saying, you know what, hey, I'm in this with you guys. But I digress.
I thought it was just fine, but I thought, why call attention to it when you still kind of, you know, are going through the situation?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought it was such a small thing. I'm happy he's supporting rather than not supporting.
Yeah.
So, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Before we get into Oscars predictions, any final thoughts about quotes, what could have been enhanced, anything that we didn't talk about that you're like, oh, I forgot about this, I really want to mention this really quick. Final thoughts about the Golden Globes, the 76th, I can't believe there have been 75 of these, and now 76, the 76th annual Golden Globes, final thoughts.
Okay, I will say, I think Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg may get some negative criticism just because there wasn't as many jokes and it wasn't as fun. Mm-hmm. However, I think Sandra Oh is going to get praised for her speech about, you know, being the first Asian American woman to host the Golden Globes. And I think that having more heartwarming moments with her showing her parents and things like that is going to serve her really well. Andy Samberg, I think he did fine. He did a good job. But I think as hosts, it's not going to go down in the history books as the most amazing, epic hosting gig ever. Mm-hmm. But it was historical in and of itself. And I think they did a good job.
Yeah, I would say it was a good year, but the chemistry between the two was definitely a little interesting between Sandra and Andy. I don't think it was bad. I don't think anyone else is really going to bring it up, but I do think that a lot of people are going to be pretty ticked off that Lady Gaga did not win Best Actress or the Best Film.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just...
I mean, I'm holding out hope for the Oscars, but... Mm-hmm. Tonight was not the night.
It was not the night. No. That was very surprising indeed. Andy Samberg, normally I see him as, like, extremely likable, extremely warm.
Right.
Yes, that's
lovable.
What I'm talking about.
He wasn't like that today,
they
though.
It was a little off.
He was very, like he wasn't
stale.
Bad. He was just kind of stiff.
Stale.
And, like, proper.
Stale.
And I don't know why. It was very strange to me, because usually he, like, has that gap-toothed smile, and he's always, like, so excited, and, like, he makes your heart melt.
Right.
And today it was just... it wasn't bad. I just wasn't anything, nothing that I'm like applauding.
Right.
Additionally, I just think the speeches always go way over and it's very long. And I wish there was like more levity, like more funny things. I felt that a lot of the presenters were drawing attention to the teleprompter and like kind of calling out that they were reading.
It was sort of like breaking the fourth wall. Yeah. Though. I was like,
like it was weird. It's like, you guys, this isn't rehearsal. Like, you guys are doing a show here.
Right. And I wonder, like, do they get the read before? They just have to read it.
I don't think so.
Jamie Lee Curtis was like, hey, can you scroll up?
Yeah. Oh my God.
The talent don't get to do that.
And I felt like some of the men were pretty drunk. Like, I felt like Jeff Bridges, like, what Bill was happening?
Bill Murray
was totally wasted.
Did he have a cup in his hand?
I don't know. It was just, I just felt like some of them had already been, like, gone or, like, over it. Like, they're like, whatever, this is my 76th award show.
Yeah, like, whatever.
Okay, getting into Oscars predictions,
Oscars
though.
Oscars predictions.
We have to talk, because it leads into the whole thing. A Star Is Born, snub, snub, snub.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper, the movie as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe it. I was shocked. Maria Menounos, who was on our live chat, was shocked. All of the people who watched it live with us were shocked.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody, another one of my favorite movies. It literally moved me to tears. So I'm in a hard place because I'm happy that it won and that it did so well. But I just thought it was going to be Gaga's night,
and I'm
disappointed.
In a hard place. I am appalled that A Star Is Born did not win. So I'm holding out hope for the Oscars. I mean, there has to be a moment because this was phenomenal. Yes, it's the exact same movie that we've seen, what, three other times?
Yeah.
So
three times.
It's like, we get the point, but she deserves some type of credit on.
She won for The Shallows.
The song.
That song.
Yeah.
True. There was a song. What was the name of the song at the very end?
Tell me something. That one?
No. No, at the very end.
I'll Never Love Again.
I'll Never Love Again.
There you go.
I thought that was the strongest song in the entire film. That end scene really sold me on Gaga's talent.
Yeah.
Really sold it, really drove it home for me.
Fun fact, so this is kind of insane. Gaga's friend in real life passed away the morning that she recorded that scene in the movie. So she was drawing not only from the movie, but from her own personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a fun tidbit, not fun, but just a, you know, an insider
fun
tidbit.
Fact.
Fun fact. Interesting
insider tidbit. But for her to be able to, A, even perform after that happened in her personal life, and B, to be able to draw on it, I mean, that scene, it was gut-wrenching, and I just think she was such a phenomenal force in that movie and really proved why she is more than a musician and more than a model, and just solidified her as a Hollywood actress, period.
Yeah.
There is no question. American Horror Story, wonderful, but this was like, Gaga is here to stay, and no one can touch her.
Yeah. Yeah. You sold me on Gaga,
there it
right?
Is.
I thought I was already sold on her, but you sold me even
president
more
of the fan club in
and,
here.
And here's a Rosamund Pike 2020 fan that was like, I was all here for Rosamund Pike, A Private War. She portrayed Marie Colvin, the famous journalist. Amazing, incredible, incredible, incredible performance. So much research that she had to do to get into the character, to understand what it was like to be a journalist. And, you know, as a journalist, I was just like, it's so crazy to me that someone would want to willingly risk their life, a white woman want to risk their life to tell the story of Arab people who are underprivileged, who are oppressed, who are going through, like, who are under a brutal regime slash dictatorship, and that you would want to tell that story knowing that you've already been injured before, knowing that you lost your eye, and that you have to wear an eye patch, and you go in again, and you still risk it all because it's so important for you to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a message that resonated more than the message in A Star Is Born. So for me, I think it was the overall message of the movie and the fact that this was a real story of a woman who would go to those great lengths to tell the story so that the rest of the world would actually care about the plight of refugees. That makes me think, like, wow, this is something that's so relevant. I wish Rosamund Pike could win so that people would just know about A Private War.
Do you think A Private War and Rosamund Pike will see any Oscars credit?
I think so.
You do?
I literally told her, I hope you win the Oscar for this movie. Your performance was breathtaking. It was incredible. And I had an emotional hangover where the next day I still felt like depressed. I felt like, wow, like shaken up from the movie because it really resonated with me like so strongly.
You know what? I think that's the message in all of these movies, whether you like this one or that one, it's how it makes the viewer feel. And it's so fun to be able to see these people and these filmmakers, the cinematographers, the screenplay writers be celebrated for making us feel all the feels.
All the feels.
Yeah. And that's so. A Star Is Born, like, I cried like a baby watching that movie. So I love that movie, too. I predicted that it would win way more. I was like, I know it's going to win at least one award. I'm surprised it didn't win more. But Oscars predictions, who do you think is going to win? Any other...
I think noms? Lady Gaga will get her due, mm-hmm. I hope.
Bradley Cooper?
Not for acting, for directing, maybe.
Okay.
Not for acting. And I think we're going to see Bohemian Rhapsody is going to be a big, big movie that people need to watch out for.
Do you think we're still going to see as much, as many wins for Green Book as we did for the Golden Globes with it winning 3 awards
for Oscars? I would say so, but I would also throw in Beale Street. Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to see something at the Oscars mm-hmm. for, you know, if Beale Street could talk.
And I think being shut out, Crazy Rich Asians, I think is going to be shut out. I don't think The Favorite is going to do well at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Vice might get shut out, too.
Yeah,
really?
Definitely. I don't think Vice is going to get anything.
But we'll see.
So,
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, guys, hopefully we can watch the Oscars together.
It was so fun doing it with you guys today. I loved it. And all the people in our live chat, it was fantastic.
Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. And make sure to leave your comments below about your Oscars predictions, who you think is going to win Best Picture for the Oscars, Best Actress, all the major categories, Best Actor. Let us know. I'm your host, Mina Wahab. You can find me on social media at Mina Makes Magic. And to my left,
hi, guys. Anna K. Thomas. Thanks for being here. You can find me on all social media at Anna K. A-N-N-A-K-A-Y Thomas.
Hey, thanks for watching. I'm Archie J. Follow me on all social media platforms at Archie J. Speaks.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great week. Take care.
See you.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.